All right, welcome back into the third hour of the game. Let's ride here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Myself and Junie Riddle got you till midnight. Big Kenny behind the glass. Make it all happen as we do at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour. It's a scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny. Bow, bow. All right, here are the scores we got for you so far tonight. Most of these games in the second quarter. Beach right now leads Brentwood 17-0. Blackman over Cookeville 21-0. Centennial trails Laverne 6-3 in the second. Clay County up over York 16-0. CPA over Lipscomb 7-0. That's early. Davidson Academy leads Stratford 7-0. DCA over Franklin Grace Academy 21-0. Wesley Gober with a big touchdown in that game. Riverdale Simple Reese Nashville 7-0. Fayetteville rolling past Huntland tonight, leading 32-3. FRA beating BGA 21-0. Lebanon over Gallatin 7-0. Good Pastor over DeKalb County 14-0. Gordonsville leads Red Bowling Springs 14-0. Lawrence County up over Hillwood. They just scored. They lead Hillwood 21-7. Clarksville Northwest 6, Kenwood 0. Siegel 13, Lincoln County 0. Clarksville 14, Maplewood 6. Middle Tennessee Christian 8, Wayne County 0. Oakland over Liberty Creek 21-0. Gleason over Perry County 8-0. Pope John Paul just scored again. They lead Ravenwood 24-13. Still in the first half. Coffee County just scored. They lead Rockville 14-7. Smith County over Macon County 14-13. Springfield up over Portland 7-0. We've not got a score update in that game in quite a while, so we'll check that for you. Stowe Memorial tied Kingston 7-7. Waverly over Cheatham County 7-0. White County over Hunters Lane 20-6. White House tied with Westmoreland 7-7. Cleveland over Giles County 7-0. Second quarter. Upperman tied with Walker Valley 7-7. And games from last night. Brentwood Academy 10, Innsworth 7, East Robertson 35, Forest 14, Franklin County 41, Warren County 21, and Smyrna over McGavick 41-21. And my friends, that is your game blitz update coming to you at the top of the hour. Junie, score sent out to you. I mean, to me, that Pope John Paul game looks like a lot of fun. They lead Ravenwood 24-13 right now.
That's a little bit of a surprise for me. I would have thought that Ravenwood would have kind of handled them pretty good without Kenny Minchie, but I was kind of looking into Pope John Paul before the show today, and apparently they have kind of taken out that freshman quarterback that was playing in that game against Baylor, and they put in one of their wide receivers at quarterback who some of the guys up in the press box when I was at that game were talking about him. So I think they made a few adjustments, and now they're kind of a little bit more competitive against some of these big dogs out here. So, yeah.
You know what? We had Coach Snead on, I think the Pope John Ball coach, last week. He told us he did that. He's got a selfish team, an unselfish team, and he went to the wide receiver and said, hey, I need you. And he's like, okay, what do we need, Coach? And stepped right in.
And that shows that you have a really good program and a really good group of guys. I remember one year when I was playing, our top linebacker, he was an outside linebacker, but he was our best athlete, and we did not have a quarterback to play that year. He probably would have gotten a lot better offers if he had stuck to playing outside linebacker for his senior year.
Yeah.
But he played quarterback, and he played it hard, and we ended up barely getting over 500, and I don't think without him, we probably would not have been even close to 500. So it kind of shows you that when you have kids like that on your team, that it builds a good program and it builds a good culture to be able to adapt.
I love it. You know, are you on the TWA website?
Yes.
Pull up CPA's schedule. Right now, they're beating Lipscomb 21-13 with 2 minutes to go in the first half. They were up 21-6, it looked like, and Lipscomb has scored 20-13. Give me their non-region schedule, some of the teams they've played, because this CPA team, there's something there, man. I know they beat Oakland pretty good, but I know they've played a lot of tough non-region games.
So they have played Independence, Brentwood Academy, which that was the game that I was at, Montgomery Bell Academy, Cane Ridge, Oakland. And yeah, that is their entire non-district schedule, which is pretty stacked.
Right. All right, let's go to the phones. I'll bring our man Lance Mackey covering the East Nashville Rivoli game. Lance, what you got, brother?
What's up, y'all? Well, we have reached halftime, and as you can hear, East National is celebrating their seniors on senior night here. Right after we hung up, there was another three and out by Riverdale, and then we had a nice little drive by East National to come down and score a touchdown, a nice mix of run and pass to get all the way down the field. Finished up with Zach Beard, quarterback sneak for a touchdown and a missed extra point. We're at 7-6, and then after with the ball with 36 seconds, Riverdale drove down and kicked a big 42-yard field goal at the half. It's 10-6 Warriors over Eagles.
Oh, man, we got a ball game over there. How long was the field goal, do you know?
It was 42 yards.
Whoa, that's pretty good for high school football right there.
You don't see many 40-plus yarders in high school football, Lance. That's pretty good. Let me ask you this. So we've seen this offense, East Nashville, all year long, putting up excellent points, whether it's in their run game, their pass game. It doesn't matter. They're pretty elite on both. What have you seen as some openings that they could probably maybe adjust to in the second half and quit doing what they've been doing and move towards something else? Do you see anything that they could be doing?
Yeah, they have to get some other people involved. I mean, always senior Traquan Waters, so great on the ground. And then Joyner off the edge. He's the guy that had a lot of big catches this game, number 6 for East Nashville. But I haven't seen a whole lot of some of their other big play receivers. I think they need to get some more guys involved. The run game didn't really start to click until that last drive. Obviously with the run, you got the play action with all these big play receivers. So I think that'll be huge for them. And then these critical mistakes. There was a defensive coverage breakdown at the end of the half. Riverdale had like a big, I think like 40-yard pass on a broken coverage. So there's just some mental mistakes they could clean up. I would expect East Nashville to come back and take care of business, but this is a ball game so far.
Have they taken shots downfield yet? And if so, has that just been unsuccessful, or does Zach Beard not have enough time to throw the ball?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there was one deep ball that was a little underthrown. Beard was flushed from the pocket and kind of was thrown going across his body and ended up a little bit short. So I guess short answer, yes, he's not having too much time to throw, but it's also just, it just doesn't feel like they're in sync. It feels like some of those timing plays that they're usually so great at, weren't opened up until that final drive. Again, a lot of things clicked in there. So if that's any indication, I think second half could be a big offensive explosion for the Eagles.
Lance, go get some pizza, and we'll talk to you in the second half.
All right, man.
All right, put it on Junie's tab.
All right,
take care, Lance.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a frequent visitor there to East Nashville. I got my tab there. They take care of me all and well. Me and the principal, she brought me water to the press box. I'd say we're best friends.
All right, now, Kenny, real quick, get on the mic for a second. You went to East. You guys didn't have a football field, right? All the games were on the road?
We didn't. When I went to school, we didn't even have a football team.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, well, all we had was a basketball team. I graduated in 1997. That just goes to show you how far back this is. So
25 years. So
Kenny, I was born in 96.
Thank you for making me feel old.
Anytime, Kenny.
You could be my son.
Yeah,
I was born
in
68.
We'll just tell people that.
When I pass, you won't get any money. That's okay, though. Real quick, I was going to tell you. So anyway, East didn't have a high school football field until like 2017. So all their games were gone, and nowhere to go. So they finally and such a great high school. That's where Oprah went. I mean, it's Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle went to East Nashville.
Oprah Winfrey went to East Nashville?
Yes, man. Yeah. Do your research, brother. Come on now.
Should have done
Sergeant
a little bit more.
You know,
sorry,
Sergeant Carter
Oprah.
From Gomer Pyle? You watch Gomer Pyle?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you young kids. Anyway, so they just got their high school football field back like 5 years ago. So you could tell the pride – in that program when they came back at your own. I mean, you get your own high school field right there. So that's going to be a fun second half to do that. All right, it's already time for break time. So at the end of the break, come back to the other side. Most scores right here for you. This is The Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Myself, Big Joe here alongside my best friend, Junie Riddle, best producer in America, in the world, in the galaxy, Kenny Adams back there tonight. I'm fast. This has nothing to do with the Game Blitz tonight. We'll get to the scores in just a second. But before we went on tonight, we're watching the UAB-Western Kentucky game. I know they get 102.5 up in Bowling Green, but Junie, you're a Western grad, and before the game started tonight, they're playing UAB. You said Shaq is there hosting a DJ party. What's he doing?
Oh, yeah. So every single year we have this big lawn, and it's right across the two-lane street to the football stadium, so it's really easy to get over there. And when it's game day, there's no traffic. So big wide-open lawn right across from the football field. They always put on, like, a big performance or have somebody come out. And so Shaq, a.k.a. DJ Diesel, is out there in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on the Western Kentucky University's campus, getting the crowd hyped up before their big Conference USA matchup against UAB.
They showed him, and I'm just like, there's Shaq in Bowling Green.
My sister saw him. My sister lives in Bowling Green. She just graduated this past year, so she got to see Shaq, so I'm super jealous because I'm a huge fan of Shaquille O'Neal, man. He's awesome.
Let's go to the Game Blitz phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Our man Nick Keyser tonight's covering the Major League Christian Academy Nashville Christian game. Nick, man, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, guys, how are we doing tonight? One Western grad speaking to another one.
Oh, you know it, Nick. That's our bread and butter, baby. Go Tops.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Well, it's not Roll Tops here tonight, but I will give you guys a brief halftime update with about 12 minutes before the break is over. On senior night, the Saints are down 43-0. Yes, 43-0 is the best way to put it tonight. They have a big goose egg up on the scoreboard still. I think these seniors are still looking for the end zone and a very positive way. I think what they're really looking for is a deep ball, and they've not been able to find anybody deep so far, and it's been all Eagles this evening. I believe they came into this game 5-3, so they're looking to, I think, just bolster their resume, simply put, and I think they are completely in charge of this game, and I'm interested to see coming out of halftime what they will do against the Saints defense.
All right, so, Nick, who do we have to talk to get you off of covering Mount Juliet Christian? Because they're 1-7. They're giving up, looks like, nearly 50 points a game on defense. Who do I need to call? Tommy Bryan?
Oh, you know the man, the myth, the legend. I've been covering Friendship Christian, but they are on the road this evening.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it's still a pleasure coming out here. You know, one thing I will say is the press box is still a work in progress. I was here week one, if we do have some loyal listeners that actually remember week one, but, it's come a long way. This press box still has no seats. They're fold out tables, but it's a beautiful thing up here. I love the community that's around this school. I can hear all the seniors' names getting called right now. There's well over a dozen names. It's just a great atmosphere this evening. It's the last home game of the season, so I'm looking forward to talking to Coach Dan Davis after the show is over tonight.
All right, Nick. Tommy Bryan is a Hall of Fame sports writer, and I'm not going to tell him to do anything. He knows far more than I do. All right, Nick, just give us an update when the game in the second half, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I will talk to you guys later, and go top.
Go all Tops, right. Nick. Appreciate it.
None of that nonsense on here, Nick. By the way, Nashville Christian will take on DCA next week, and from the looks of it, it's going to be for the region championship. That game is at Nashville Christian, where they played in the state championship last year. DCA won the state championship. The game at Nashville Christian, it looks like both teams will be 4-0 in region when they collide next week for that big, big game. So, again, week 11, Junie, is set up to be some – I don't know. I mean, I know you're going to be out next week covering the games, man, but you're going to have a plethora of games to choose from.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing is there's a lot of do-or-die games for some of these programs looking to get in and get a shot. And in my opinion, yeah, it's great to go out to the big heavy-hitter contenders who you know are going to be in it every year and, you know, playing for an opportunity to win a state championship. But some of these best games are when these – teams are back against the wall. You win, you in, you lose, you go home.
Right.
And sometimes that, it not even dependent on the matchup, brings out the best football that you can watch.
I totally agree with you. Let me see the former updates right now. Again, Baylor up on top of NBA, 14-7. Is it Witt Muschamp?
Witt Muschamp. Right. And they also have a killer running back. His name is Caleb Hampton. Watched him dominate in that Pope John Paul game. Between the two of them, once they get that play-action game going, it is tough to stop that Baylor offense.
You know, each week we have the running clock game, and I'm not seeing one tonight. I mean, am I missing this? I mean, maybe if I should get on the football. How did I get on volleyball? Okay, by the way, Creekwood, just make this announcement, for high school volleyball state championship, let's see here, Creekwood Lady Red Hawks volleyball team defeated East Hamilton High School today in the Class 2A state championship. This team claims the first team state championship in the 21-year history of the school. Congratulations, Coach Jeremy Baker and Lady. This is from Alex Spann. So, Creekwood, congratulations on winning the high school volleyball championship 2A. By the way, high school volleyball, fantastic in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, is it really?
I don't know about Kentucky, but in Tennessee, it's fantastic.
Well, in Kentucky, it's actually country renowned. Some of the best volleyball programs in the entire nation for high school volleyball. I would know because my sister played high school volleyball up there in Kentucky, and I have been to a slew of Saturday volleyball tournaments growing up. So I know a lot about that sport.
I love high school. So congratulations to them. Upperman just scored. Lead Walker Valley right now 17-10. Upperman having a good year at 6-2. Of course, 10-6 is a score. Riverdale over East Nashville. And I'm trying to get another update on the Pope John Paul game. Pope John Paul leads Ravenwood 24-13. That game is at the half. The last score we got, Fairview now is up over Sycamore 18-3. Fairview's on a collision course with Waverly next Friday night for the championship in the region. I don't have a Waverly score for you right now. And an update. Oh, okay, Junie. Your thoughts on this? Halftime, Springfield 20, Portland 0.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So our caller earlier knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, he must have, because he said that Springfield, when they were playing Henry County, were missing a ton of their skill players and felt that it would have been a much different game if they had those players. And going into that Henry County game, Springfield was undefeated. So you're talking about a team that was really rolling, going up against a rival there sitting in the district, and it was a thriller. So to see this team get their guys back and absolutely dominating Portland the way that they are right now, and again, it is only halftime, but that's really surprising.
It looks as if, all right, so Springfield, they're 2-1 in the region. Portland 3-0, Henry County 4-0. If Springfield wins against Portland, a loss, and then Portland's going to play Henry County next week, all Henry County's got to do is win. They take home the region. If they lose, Springfield wins, it's chaos. And I can't figure this out. I'm not going to figure it out.
I don't think we should make assumptions, Joe. I think we just need to go with the flow. let those higher up in the state make those decisions, because clearly we're here just breaking down some ball.
Right. Elijah's got that extra gear in his brain. He can figure stuff like that out, and I can't.
Elijah's more of a math guy. I don't think we're math guys.
I can't do it.
I was one of those that was really good at social studies just randomly, but all the other school stuff I was never the best.
Before halftime, Ravenwood got on the board, so it's 24-19, Pope John Paul over Ravenwood. Surprised by that or no?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised by that. I mean, like I said, Pope John Paul made that decision to go to their wide receiver at quarterback. Obviously, the freshman wasn't ready to step in there and start making big plays, and they have a roster that's a win-now roster. If Kenny Minchie's in there, they're a state title contender. Flat out. No, hands down, they would have played with anybody, and it would have been a much better game against Baylor. The fact that they went to a more seasoned player, putting him at quarterback, has obviously been the difference, because if not, I felt like Ravenwood would have ran away with this one.
Pope John Paul overall 6-2 in the season, 2-2 in region play. Get up a lot of points though in region play, but tonight's not a region game versus Ravenwood. Kind of a pride game right there. They're thinking you're 24-19, so I know. Let me see what Pope John Paul has done. So the game you covered was Pope John and Baylor, correct?
Yes. And that game, that was one of the running clock games that unfortunately I had to do. But again, you
week
know.
Week five.
Yes. So
God, that was 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. It didn't feel that long ago. But But yeah, no, that game, like I said, just clearly watching it, clearly seeing the fight that Pope John Paul had. And again, you know, they were with a freshman quarterback, and that was the first game fully that they had without Kenny Minchie, and he was out there, and they didn't necessarily know if he was going to go or not. It was still kind of up in the air. So they've been without him since, and obviously they have kind of moved past that, and they're getting over that hurdle.
So they beat, since they switched a quarterback since that game, they've gone 2-1. They beat BGA 34-27, lost to NBA 35-0, beat Knox Catholic 42-35 when they were down big time. So they've rallied, but they've only played three games since. This season's going by so fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels like yesterday I was at East Nashville with Father Ryan, man. I'm telling you, time flies when you're having fun. This area is filled with great football. I grew up in an area where if we got a major, you know, Power 5 D1 talent, like, everybody's going to watch that one person.
Right.
Here, it seems like every single team has one. So for me, I feel like I'm in heaven because I can see all this football talent around this area.
Mount Juliet, scoreboard update real quick coming in. Hillsboro has tweeted out they're playing Mount Juliet's now up on Hillsboro 36-24. That's a big region game tonight as well. So 36-24 is it getting in. So thank you for the nice tweet there, Hillsboro. Appreciate you guys for doing that. All right, it's time for another break. As we do at the top and the bottom of every hour, we give you a complete scoreboard update. Scores are now, most of these games are in the halftime, some into the third quarter. We'll give you a complete scoreboard update. That's next. You're listening to Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. I'm just sitting here tapping my feet like, this is a nice song. I'm not realizing that it's coming out of the break. Welcome back to the Game Blitz here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe alongside my good man, Junie Riddle, Elijah Campbell off tonight. Big Kenny behind the glass as we got you till midnight tonight, week 10 of the high school football season. We got some surprises tonight. We don't have many blowouts, which usually we have like a dozen blowouts that are happening, but we don't tonight. As we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, it's time for the scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny. Oh, let that just get into your blood for a second. Helicopter cruising on Oahu. All right, here we go. The scores for you right now. Most of these games are at halftime or in the second quarter. Right now, Beach on top of Brentwood 24-0. Blackman leads Cookeville 21-0. Laverne on top of Centennial 6-3. Clay County leads York 16-0. CPA leads Lipscomb 21-13. That game is almost a half. Davidson Academy leads Stratford 7-0. DCA on top of Franklin Grace 21-0. Wesley Gober with a nice touchdown in that game. Riverdale at halftime leads East Nashville 10-6. Fayetteville on top of Huntland 32-3. Third quarter, FRA 21, BGA 0. Second quarter, Lebanon 7, Gallatin 0. Good Pastor 21, DeKalb County 7. Thank you, DJ Denning, for the tweets. Gordonsville 14, Red Bowling Springs 0. Mount Juliet leads Hillsboro 36-24 in the third quarter. Lawrence County on top of Hillwood 21-7. Clarksville Northwest and Kenwood tied at 13. Siegel on top of Lincoln County 19-0. Clarksville on top of Maplewood 14-6. Baylor leads NBA 14-7. Nashville Christian on top of Mount Juliet Christian 43-0. Middle Tennessee Christian leads Wayne County 8-0. Oakland has got the Junie Riddle running clock going. They lead Liberty Creek 42-0 that game in the second quarter. Gleason on top of Perry County 8-0. Pope John Paul leads Ravenwood 24-19 in the third. Coffee County over Rockville 14-7. Smith County over Macon County 14-13. Springfield in the third quarter leads Portland 20-0. Fairview on top of Sycamore 18-3. Waverly leads Cheatham County 7-0. White County on top of Hunter's Lane 20-6. White House 14, Westmoreland 7. Cleveland on top of Giles County 7-0. Upperman tied with Walker Valley 7-7. That is your scoreboard update right there at the bottom of the hour. Any game score surprise you there, Junie Riddle?
I would say the fact that CPA is leading over Lipscomb Academy, that is absolutely shocking. I had mentioned London Humphreys. But while we were still previewing these games and about how he was a standout receiver for CPA, and he happened to be the guy that returns that opening kickoff for a touchdown,
right,
and really has set the tone. And then we talk about Baylor. Whit Muschamp in company in that offense, getting going against NBA. NBA has been an absolute stud this year with their star quarterback. His name again?
Marcell
Reed.
So
everybody
here,
talks about that.
So
game.
I'm following
so good.
One of the best writers in town is Tyler Palmateer from Main Street Preps. He has great stories, great updates. So NBA was up. Baylor goes up 21-7, and like that, boom, comes back. Marcell Reed hits a 72-yard touchdown with Claiborne Richards. So it's now 21-13. That game is late in the second quarter. So Baylor over NBA 21-13. Now, you saw Baylor play versus Pope John. Is Baylor a big team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big
I'm
boys?
Talking big line. Oh, any you can always tell which team looks like they're superior when they have, 300-pound linemen out there. And Baylor was one of those teams where their, offense and defensive front looked fearsome.
Wow. So, but Marcell Reed cuts a deficit. That's going to be a good game to watch. I mean, that's basically for the region championship right there. Another update, DCA to Scorley's Grace Christian, 28-0, 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. I mean, you're right, man. These high school teams with the run the ball, these games are over almost in no time at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been out of games before 9 o'clock before, Joe. I mean, sometimes that's just how these things play out. But I would say another really big surprise is the game that we have on TV right now. I felt like Brentwood had a lot more to play for in this game going up against Beach, but the two-headed monster at running back that I was talking about last week, Darius Johnson, has absolutely dominated the first half, and then we turn it on here in the second half, and JP Courtney breaks a long one for a touchdown. So the two-headed running back monster for Beach is absolutely laying it on this stout Brentwood defense in a shocker, I believe, because I really feel like Brentwood has a lot more to play for tonight than Beach does.
Did you play against Jack Harlow in high school?
No, Jack Harlow was not a football player.
Was he a rival high school, though?
Oh, no. He went to Atherton High School, which is known for having a really awful football program. They were kind of like the Glenn Cliff of Louisville.
Oh, really?
So even though, like, we never played them, they were in a much, lower class. I played in 6A. I think they were like a 3A team. So, yeah, we never played for them, and we kind of silently rooted for them as well. And whenever they got a win, we always kind of cheered for them.
Did you know Jack Harlow?
No, I do have a funny story about Jack Harlow, though. He's 2 years younger than me, so we have mutual friends. I saw him at a party one time, and he had overly curly long hair. He kind of looked awkward, and I overheard him talking about wanting to be a rapper. And I made fun of him, and I thought he was a joke, and I thought his music sucked. So shows you what I know, and that's an honest to goodness story. Like never knew him, and didn't even know his name. Somebody had played me one of his songs before, and I was like, oh yeah, that kid's wasting his time. So shows you what I know and what hard work and people can do.
Wasn't you two turned down by like 40 different music labels? I mean, it happens. It's easy to say I got nothing. Then if you say it's going to be great, it turns out to be nothing. So.
Exactly. Sometimes that stuff can get to your head, and sometimes the naysayers can give you that motivation to move forward and strive to be successful. So,
it happens, right? I mean,
so I'll tell everybody this: Jack Harlow's famous because I criticized him in high school. So there we are.
You think he would know if you walked up and said, "Take that, Junie"?
Absolutely not.
Tell your friends though that would happen though. Hey, by the way, Springfield scored again on top of Portland, 27-0. That game, 4 minutes to go in the third quarter right there. I'm a little surprised at that because Portland's had a good season so far. Springfield's a great football team. Dustin Wilson's the head coach there. He has done a remarkable job at that school throughout the years. So when they, I know they lost to Henry County a few weeks ago. I get all that. We'll pull their schedule up here real quick. But, I mean, that's still just a fantastic program. And 5A's loaded here. Who beat Springfield? I know they lost,
So Henry County is one of them. Do they have one or two losses on the year?
And Beach beat them 42-10 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Beach, listen, I guess Beach, although they really did handle Gallatin in the second half last night, I think they were just kind of off. Because as soon as I gave you all the halftime report and I was kind of praising Gallatin for overcoming the adversity.
You did do that.
And I was telling y'all how like they were overcoming all these obstacles, and then I think they must have had 102.5 going in the locker room at halftime because they came out and they didn't let Gallatin do nothing, and it seemed like the run game started clicking a lot more, handing it to Darius Johnson, and they just dominated and put the pedal to the metal against them.
All right, Beach lost the opening game of the year against Farragut, 31-28. Since then, they beat Henry County, 26-21. Hendersonville, Clarksville, Summit, West Creek. I mean, they have rolled over. Their closest beat Henry County by five. Then they just destroyed these other teams. I mean, 38-0, 42-10, 42-7. And right now, they lead Brentwood 24-0 with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. That's a heck of a football team.
Oh, yeah. No, Beach, like I said, with their two-headed monster at running back, J.P. Courtney and Darius Johnson, they don't hide the fact of what they like to do. I'm watching them right now against Brentwood. The amount of pressure that they're putting on Brentwood's quarterback has been immense tonight. They did not do that as much last week. So, I mean, when you can control the game by running the ball, wearing the opposing defense down, running the clock down, and basically imposing your will, and then you're controlling the front on the defensive end, I mean, it makes perfect sense as to why the score is what it is right now, because they're just killing them in the trenches on the line of scrimmage.
What was the score at halftime last week at Beach and Gallatin?
It was 21-7.
Okay.
And so, and that was the crazy thing, was because, like I said, they had that freshman quarterback in. He might have been 5'6", a buck 45. And he threw a ball. It was a crossing route on the run that set them up inside the five right before halftime, and they scored. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe this team's got a shot. But then, like I said, you know, Beach, as soon as they got that ball in the second half, they slammed that door shut.
Friendship Christian went on the road tonight. They played Lakeway Christian. They won 38-7. Friendship Christian is now 9-0 on the season, and they are rolling. That's another team. I'll pull their scores up too as well, because they've beaten a lot of teams pretty handily throughout the season there. Let's see here, Friendship Christian. I'll find it. Bear with me. There we go. So they'll be 9-0 in the season. Yeah, they've won 40-12, 69-0, made DCA 43-8, 55-8, 49-7, 55-8, they won tonight. So next week they have an all winners take all in that region, as Friendship Christian will take on Middle Tennessee Christian. That's Division II Class A, the East region for all the marbles. Friendship Christian right now is up over. They were playing Lakewood, not Friend. I'm sorry, hold on. Bear with me. Middle Tennessee Christian tonight is playing. Doing okay, Junie? Good to see you, buddy.
Oh, I'm doing great.
They're playing Wayne County. So next week, they're up 8-0 over Wayne County. So next week, Middle Tennessee Christian and Friendship Christian will play for all the marbles. So, Junie, we got like 18 games you can go to next week.
Oh, yeah, I know. I think I'm going to have to put them all in a hat and just draw one.
That's probably the easiest thing to do, because there's so many good games that are happening.
And like we mentioned, entirely, a lot of people are going to want to go to those big time matchups, those district championship games where teams are matching up, and you know, winner's going to take all. Probably home field advantage is going to be on the line, and we talked about this earlier. You know, you're playing in late October, early November. This is big stuff for these teams, because traveling on the road is not easy. I remember my sophomore year of high school. You know, we had to go on the road for three games during the playoffs. We were a top 10 team, but because we had dropped some district games, that was the reason why. And we ended up going to the semifinals one game before state and lost. But you know, I feel like if we would have had the home advantage, that's huge. And so that's what's going to be on the line for a lot of these teams going into week 11.
We might have to switch you next week, because if Springfield really keeps putting the hammer down on Portland, that Henry County game is going to be not that important next week, because that means Portland will be 3-1, Springfield will be 3-1. And all Henry County's got to do is win, and they win the region. They're at Portland, so we'll see. But I'll tell you one game that I don't know, man. For some reason, it's the 5A Region 5 game, Mount Juliet and Green Hill for all the marbles. It was a heck of a game last year. That's going to be – I mean, Junie, that game was going to be at – because those schools are located so close to each other in Mount Juliet, it's going to be packed. And if both teams can win tonight, they're going to that game with all the marbles, and you'll be shocked – how loud. And it'd be like going back to Nolensville Page again.
Oh, really? I mean, and again, that's another one. You know, just a beautiful stadium, beautiful. I mean, there's so many beautiful schools and big time stadiums here in Middle Tennessee. I mean, it's outrageous. But I mean, yeah, like you said, currently Mount Juliet 4-0 in the district, Green Hill 3-1. So again, that's going to be another one of those to see who's going to take it and have home field advantage for the majority of the playoffs. And like you said, I would say 5A is probably one of the deeper classes
that
we've seen. I mean, I feel like there's just so many teams from from multiple different regions that could really make some noise in the playoffs, like Nolensville, Page, Henry County, Portland. I mean, just, we're talking about Springfield, and the I think his name was Shaquille who called in earlier talking about how when they get their ball players back, that you know they're going to be a threat. So
yeah,
a lot of different options. Even in Region 8, Munford 8-0, 4-0 in district. I mean, they're absolutely killing it. So a lot of different options there in 5A. It's going to be a tough one to pick for. To see who's going to be the team to beat there.
I totally agree with you. All right, real quick, NBA just scored. They tied at 21-21 going into halftime. Marcel Reed gets a touchdown. NBA converts a two-point attempt, so it's all good. So 21-21 NBA and Baylor, that's a big game to pay attention to tonight. All right, we'll take another break. Come back to the other side, more scores, more everything. Listen to the Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz. Return to the Mac Daddy. All right, so right now at the Game Blitz, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, myself, Big Joe, alongside my good man, Junior Riddle, Big Kenny behind the glass right there. Update, Lipscomb Academy to score. They lead CPA 22-21 in the third quarter, 4 minutes to go in that game. Judy, surprised by the score? No.
A little bit, yeah. I thought NBA was clearly the better team. Marcel Reed, Ole Miss commit, probably the best quarterback in the state. I haven't seen him in person. I would like to. I would really like to go see him in person. But I really thought that NBA was going to handle Baylor. I guess when I had saw Baylor, the way they kind of put a beating on Pope John Paul with that freshman quarterback, I wouldn't say I wasn't impressed because they played a good game, but I felt like, you know, when the opposing team is playing a freshman quarterback that is getting his first start, I would have expected it to be a little uglier. So, you know, Baylor really stepping out. You know, they got a good quarterback in Whit Muschamp and company there. So, you know, they're hanging in there. But like I had mentioned this to you in the break, the fact that they scored right before halftime,
it
takes the momentum out of the underdog team going in there with a tie rather than a lead at halftime.
It does. My man Josh Pruno tweeting to us, coming back, a great country singer songwriter, fantastic guy's got amazing talent. His kids play for Friendship Christian. Listen to this, Friendship Christian. All right, if they only had six possessions tonight, scored five TDs. They beat Lakeway Christian 38-7. Of course, we said next Thursday at home versus Middle Tennessee Christian, region championship on the line. And they got that great receiver that I can't remember his last name there for. Nick's always telling me about him, how good he is. Maybe it's something Montgomery. My mind's mush now because we got so many things that are going on. But, Josh, thanks for listening. Congratulations to your boys at Friendship Christian on a big win tonight. They're rolling. I mean, they just destroy teams throughout the season to do that. So, well done there.
Speaking of Nick, I just got a tweet from him about 2 minutes ago. Apparently, Mount Juliet Christian Academy has scored two touchdowns in a row. So, we're at a 43-12. So they're cutting into that 43-0 halftime lead. So good for you, Mountain Juliet Christian Academy, for sticking in there and trying to get your seniors out on a good note tonight.
Yeah, we'll get some points on the board there. Green Hill now leads Station Camp 21-14. That game is now to the fourth quarter. If things hold like they are between Mountain Juliet and Green Hill, that's a collision course next week for the championship there. So, man, we got some big, huge games that are happening coming down the pike next week.
Oh, yeah, no. And like we said, there's no more important than your last regular season game. There's going to be so many altar-shifting games that are just going to determine, like we had mentioned, you know, whether you play on the road or not, who you're matched up against. All this stuff matters, and it matters to these programs. I know Baylor, for instance, you know, they're really wanting to get a win over NBA tonight. I think it's the last 3 or 4 years that NBA has knocked them out of the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Grace Christian of Franklin to score. DC still leads them 35-7 as they head into the fourth quarter. Man, this night is flying by like the regular season has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, when you got a bunch of good games, you know, everybody's off from fall break, so we got a full slate of them, you know, the second to last week of the season. Like you said, not many blowouts, not many running clock
that's
games
crazy.
Tonight. But that's a good thing for us. You know, it's good. These kids know that, hey, this is the last couple weeks of football. Some of these kids aren't going to get to play in the playoffs, so they're giving it everything they got while they still do. You know, even for teams that aren't in contention, you know, these seniors want to go out on a good note, and even if their team didn't have the best of years, they still want to put out some good performances before some of these guys' last games that they'll ever play.
They were I didn't see before the break, but did Brentwood score?
Brentwood did score. Oh, so I think, man. I think it's 24-6 because they tried to go for two and make it a 3-possession game rather than a or my math
18 math. Two,
so,
yeah, two,
so
yeah.
It would be a 2-possession if they would have gotten it, so it's still a three nice. Still a 3-possession game. Yeah, I try to tell you, where's Elijah when you need it, the human calculator out here. So
I told you there'd be no math during this show. George Robinson tweeting out right now, looks like that Hillwood football, I'm telling you, who they're playing. Lawrence County leads Hillwood right now 31-14. That game now has gone to the fourth quarter. Watching part of the Brentwood Beach game on TV, with our buddy Max Herz on the call, My TV 30. I haven't seen Beach throw a pass. Have you?
No.
I've watched about half the game. So you think about that. Just the grinding and winding down and running the football that Beach does. They run sort of that wing T as well. They got guys going every which way. And if you don't play your gap responsibility or the zone or area to make it like too much inside baseball, but if you don't play your position, do your job, it's a long night. And that's what happened to Brentwood right now.
They should call them the Beach Bulldozers rather than the Beach Buccaneers because they just like to run people over. Again, I just saw another handoff to J.P. Courtney. They're in field goal range right now, so we're setting up to see if they can make it a 27-6 game. And the kick is up. And good.
I guess he made it because
They didn't show the ball, but I saw the ref's hands go up. But I'm still not seeing a score change.
Oh, the ref's hands went up, so we'll give it to him.
Or did they call a timeout maybe?
I don't know. They just ran down the field that quickly. So they got – there you go. So Beach is up on top of Brentwood 27-6. So these two could meet theoretically – well, no, wait. Brentwood's in 6A, right? Beach is in 5A. Anyway, be a big win for Beach if they can knock off a 6A team tonight.
Yeah, especially with the caliber of Brentwood's defense. Again, you know, Gallatin isn't known for having a huge, stout defense, and they kind of struggled in that second half. So, you know, really building off last week's win and what they got cooking there and just literally giving it to their guys. I noticed something last week that's a little bit something different with Beach, and that was, you know, JP Courtney got most of the carries in the first half, and then they slowly realized because, you know, watching the game, you know, Darius Johnson was really the one that was kind of killing Gallatin. And, you know, you watching the game tonight, Darius Johnson getting most of carries in the first half and, you know, breaking one wide open to make it a 2-score game and then scoring the next one to make it a 3-touchdown game. So really relying on him. I feel like he's their best player. So that's kind of why I feel like they've kind of taken an assertive lead so far in this game against Brentwood.
My man Coos, the great photojournalist over at Channel 5, just texted in and said Davidson County leads Stratford 40-3. That game's in the fourth. That's one of those games, Junior, where it's Davidson's up 7-0. You don't get an update for so long. Mm-hmm. And then our man Coos sends us a text and says it's 40-3. So boom. So just like that, it goes from 7-0 to 42-3. 40-3.
And like kind of like I told you that how Page was down a couple of weeks ago. They were down 13-7 to a team I honestly can't remember who they were playing, but you know they should have had the advantage and they were the much better team. And then once they get going, you look at the score after being down halftime, it's 48-13. I mean, like I said, sometimes it just takes a little while to get the stove hot to where these offenses can get cooking. Again, not a surprise there.
But I don't. I'm looking down. Maybe I'm missing something. But I only see a couple of blowouts that have running clock. As I say that, they all pop up. Blackman now is up over Cookeville, 47-14. But there's not. Usually we have a lot of those, but so far today we don't have one of those. But Blackman rolling over Cookeville, that'd be a nice win for Blackman Cookeville. It's a non-region game, but still, And you're a big Blackman fan too, Jenny.
I do like Blackman. I like Justin Brown. I like Page, the other receiver that they have there. It's just hit or miss with that team. You know, Jack Reisner, when he's on, like I said, this offense is going to light up the board. But, you know, he's out of sync with his receivers, and it's just a completely different team. And Blackman, you know, I wouldn't say that they're bad on defense, but, I mean, they're not the best. So it really kind of goes how the quarterback goes. It really doesn't. You don't often say that in high school football because most teams really rely on the run. But for Blackman, I mean, they have that air raid offense. I mean, you have two receivers that are going to go play Power 5 football, one of which is already committed to an SEC team. And it, like I said, when you have a quarterback, and this kid is supposed to go play for EKU, You got to start, you know, linking with your receivers, especially Jacob Page, because he is probably the best deep threat in the state.
It's a little frustrating though if you're a Blackman, you know you're going to roll into the playoffs feeling pretty good, but you know you got to go past Oakland. I mean, Oakland still, you have to take down Oakland at some point if you want to go to the state championship.
But I would say this, Joe, the fact that they lost to Oakland so bad in the regular season kind of gives me hope that they would play a lot better against them the second time, you know, with a little, like, you know, a lot less to lose. I mean, hey, this team already beat you, like, what was it, 40-something to 6 or something like that?
Pretty bad. Yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, it was a pretty hefty score because I remember it was on TV and I was watching it. I think that.
Why were you not working that night?
I was working for you.
Thanks.
So I was actually in studio watching that just as we're watching Brentwood and Beach now.
Nice.
So, but like I said, if Jack Reisner gets going, I could definitely see a Blackman, you know, playing in one of those shootout style games against an Oakland, because I don't think they can stop Oakland's run game. But when this kid is on and he's hitting both of his receivers and they're all three in sync, they can compete against Oakland. I truly believe it. There's just too much talent on that offense.
It's going to be fun to watch if they make it that far. All right, as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, we give you the scoreboard update. We'll take a quick break, come back, give you the scores that we got tonight so far from Week 10 of high school football. This is a game blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.